First Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And he has 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For so it was that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burnt incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." Amen. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. This evening we're going to look at one of the greatest tragedies, I believe, in all of Scripture and really in all of history. Greatest because it centers around one of the greatest figures who ever lived. It's the sad story of a man who was loved by God and was used by God to do incredible things. Solomon, as you may know, was king over Israel for a good many years. Solomon was used by God to build the house of God. Solomon authored 3 books in our Bible. Solomon was a man used mightily by God, a great man, and yet he fell into great sin. For as great as he was, and as great as God loved him and used him, something went awry in Solomon's life, so much so that at some point in his life, he actually began to worship false gods and erected places of worship around Israel with the practice of worshiping false gods. His heart, we're told, was led away. And friends, that is a danger. It was a danger for Solomon, and it is a danger for every believer, for you as well as for me. And the Holy Spirit has put this story in your Bibles right in front of you, not for Solomon's embarrassment, but for your instruction, for your education. It's there to keep you from wandering away. It's there to keep your heart from wandering and turning away from the living God. And tonight what we're going to do, to keep your heart from turning away from the living God, we're going to look at 6 preventatives. Now that's a lot to get through tonight, I know, but I am going to be somewhat concise in those points tonight, so you have no reason to fear. But 6 preventatives that will keep your heart from turning away from the living God. Are you ready? Here's the first preventative. Don't develop inappropriate relationships. What was that? Don't develop inappropriate relationships. Here's where Solomon's downfall began. We're told right here, at the beginning, that King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites. These were told he clung to in love. You see, Solomon was not content to find a nice local girl and settle down, probably because they were too modest in Israel. No. Solomon had a fetish for foreign women. He liked these exotic women. And he liked a lot of them. We're told that he had how many wives? 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1,000 altogether. And these, we're told, he clung to in love. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how any man could cling to 1,000 women in love. I think what that shows us is a guy with a massive problem. Is that an understatement? I mean, honestly, to cling to 1,000 women in love. I mean, what was this guy doing except clinging? I mean, night and day, this man was busy with his wives. This guy had a massive problem when it came to women. I don't think that his problem began in such a way that he thought to himself, you know what, I intend to turn my heart from the living God. I don't think that's how it began. I think it began with one wife, and then another wife, and then another wife. But every time he tied the knot, his heart unclung from God, and it drifted further and further and further away. We're told that his wives, these foreign wives who worship foreign gods, led Solomon's heart away from the living God. He clung to these, we're told, in love. You know why we're told that in the Word of God? It's there for your benefit. It's there to teach you this lesson, that you are not to develop inappropriate relationships, either with people or with the things in this world. Don't get attached to things you shouldn't get attached to. Don't cling to anything in love. Because if you cling to these things and you obsess about these things, your heart will drift away from the living God. Did you hear that? And I hope you did. Because we're living in a culture where there are so many opportunities for wrong relationships and to give ourselves to things, so much so that we could so very easily turn our hearts from the living God. And friends, hear this. It'll happen. You can't develop inappropriate relationships with this world and not have your heart turned from the living God. It is an inevitable thing. You give yourself to what is wrong, your heart will drift from the living God. And that's why I want to talk for a minute to you young people. You must not develop inappropriate relationships with other people who are not Christians. If you do, your heart will drift from the living God. You hear that? You don't hook yourself up, you don't get involved with people who are Christians, who aren't Christians. You give yourself to people who are born again, who are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, your heart will drift away. I don't know too many people who have gone into those wrong relationships and who are really walking in a vibrant way with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you today know of a person who is in a wrong relationship and who is on fire for Jesus Christ? And I would just hate to see that fire go out in your lives, all because you decide to get involved with the wrong person, the person that is off limits according to the Word of God. So, don't initiate anything that you know is wrong. Don't begin anything that you know can't go anywhere good, right? Don't respond to those things. Don't keep pursuing them. Let them go. Let them die. Ignore them. Avoid them. Your faith is on the line, friends. And you got to know that this evening. Did you hear that? It sure is. Don't develop wrong relationships, inappropriate relationships, either with people or with things in this world. You do, and your heart will drift away. Did you hear that? Here's the second thing. Don't disregard the Word of God. This was Solomon's biggest point of error. I believe that. He knew the law of God. He was the king. It was the king's job to read the law every day. Did you know that? God's word said of kings, you read my law every day. Had to be able to rule justly, right? Solomon knew the Word of God. He knew what God's law required. And he knew that God said, you should never, ever intermarry with unbelievers, with people from other countries. Don't ever do it. In fact, God showed up to Solomon twice. He did. Solomon got a physical appearance from God, a spiritual appearance. And twice God said to him, don't go after foreign women. And what did he do? He put his fingers in his ears, didn't he? I mean, every time he tied the knot, he was burying his fingers deeper into his ears. And he was ignoring the word of God. And because he did that, his heart drifted away from the living God. You look in your Bibles, it says, God said to him, you shall surely not intermarry with them, nor you with them. Surely they will turn away your hearts after other gods. You know that quiet time that you have in the morning? You know that time that you set aside every day to spend with God? Tonight, I want to impress upon you the absolute massiveness of doing that. And I want to say to you that when you give yourselves to the Word of God, and you're spending time with the Word of God, and you're going to the Word of God, and you're reading what God requires of you, you are reminding yourself of God's requirements and what He expects of you. But if you're not in the Word of God, it's on the shelf, then you are not giving the Holy Spirit something to work with in your life. You've got to get that Word into your heart. David said, what? Your Word have I, what? Hidden in my heart. Why? So that I will not sin against you. What's the connection? You put God's Word in your heart. You give God something to work with when it comes to moving and grooving with this world. And God can say, no, no, don't do that. And don't do this. And don't do that over there. And don't get involved over here. But you've got to get that Word in your heart. And so you see every morning when you wake up and through the day, getting yourself into the Word of God is a sure means of keeping your heart from turning from the living God. Solomon didn't do that. He did not heed the Word of God. God said, don't intermarry. He plugged his ears. And the result was, his wives led his heart away from the living God. So don't do that. And thirdly, don't deceive yourself thinking that sin committed in your youth won't have an impact on your life later. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that sin committed in your youth won't have an impact on you later. Here's where Solomon also blew it. And it's one of the biggest mistakes that I think young people can make. Now, if you're young this evening, I want you to really listen to me. You young people. You young little people. And those of you who are young at heart, listen to me. We have this naive notion that we can sin when we're young. And so are wild oats. And that at some point, when we're a little older and a little more mature, that we can put on the brakes and start living for God. It's naive. And it's one of the devil's biggest lies. I'll tell you why. It's this. Because the sin that you give yourself to now and the ungodly habits that you form in your life now are going to harass and affect you quite possibly for the rest of your life. And those of you who are older, who have given yourself to certain sinful habits from your youth, and you know the struggles that you endure right now. It's not easy. I'm not saying you're always falling, but you know the struggle. And Solomon did not heed that advice. Solomon was a young man when he came to become king. When he became king. And at that point, he began to multiply wives. He didn't think anything of it. Just one more wife. Just one more wife. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Years later, he's in the winter of his life. And what's the problem? We're told that when he grew old, that so it was that his wives led his heart in the living God. What he did in his youth had an impact on what happened to him later in life. And so you see, if you're young this evening, this is not the time to be squandering your gift called youth by sowing wickedness and iniquity. It's not. God has given you the gift of youth to use it to make an investment in your future. And what you sow now, you will reap later. If you sow in wickedness now, you're going to reap that later. But if you sow in righteousness, that's what you're going to sow later. That's what you'll reap later. God says that when you are old, that you will still bear fruit. But it begins today. And it begins with a commitment to say, you know what, I know I'm young, but I'm going to remember my Creator in the days of my youth. And I'm not going to give myself to folly. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to keep my His commandments, and I'm going to live for His glory. Remember that. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that sin committed in your youth won't impact you later. It will. It did for Solomon. It certainly will for you as well. And then number four. Don't discount the godly example of people in your life. Much of what we know about how to live the Christian life, we learn by emulation, by example, by watching people and copying them. And that doesn't nullify or diminish the greatness of the Word of God. In fact, it magnifies it, because only the Word of God can make a person into such a pillar of righteousness that is worthy of emulating and following as an example. Here's where Solomon went off track too. He should have followed his dad's example. Now, David was not a perfect man, but you know what? When it comes to a passion for the glory of God, nobody comes close to David. David was a man after God's heart, right? Now, David had problems. We know he committed adultery. He committed murder covered up. But what David never did was multiply wives to the extent that Solomon did, and he never set up false worship in Israel. In this, Solomon should have looked to his dad as an example, but he didn't. He discounted it. And part of the result was that his heart was led away from the living God. Do you realize that God has put people in your life? Examples. Godly examples. Children. God has put adults in your life. And they're not perfect. But insofar as they exemplify what a Christian should be, follow them. And look to them. And copy them. And emulate them. You do that and you can save yourself so much grief. Parents, you got a responsibility. Your kids are watching you. They're looking. And you here at Living Hope. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. People around you are watching you. They want to see what the Christian faith looks like. They want to see what that is all about. And so you've got a responsibility. People are looking to you. Don't discount the example of godly people. God has put them in your life for a purpose. And that's to keep your heart from turning from the living God. That's preventative number four. Here's preventative number five. We're getting towards the end here, and you're doing so well. I just applaud you for that. Number five. Here's the number five preventative. Don't disbelieve that your heart would never turn from the living God. Don't disbelieve that your heart could never turn from the living God. This story is not in our Bibles to make you feel smug about yourself. This is not in the Bible to say, oh, you know, poor Solomon. And I'm glad that I would never do anything like that. Friends, you have to understand this, that if you have that attitude this evening, if you think that Solomon was such a lost cause and you are so unlike Solomon, then you need to be aware of something. You are on the verge of committing the same act of folly as Solomon did, right? Sure. If you go to the book of Nehemiah sometimes, the last chapter, chapter 13, it's an amazing chapter. You want to see a man of God in action, you check out Nehemiah. One of the things that Nehemiah does when he discovers that God's people were intermarrying with pagans and heathens, he goes ballistic. He curses them, he punches them, he rips the hair out of their heads, and he says, you know, what are you doing? You cannot do this. You cannot give your daughters to pagans. You can't take their daughters for your sons. You can't do this. Why? Because if they did it, they were going to defile the people of God. It was a catastrophic problem. And he says to them this. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was not a king like him who was beloved by his God. And God made him king over Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. Did you catch that? Even him to sin. And the implication is, if he did it, you think you're going to stand? You think you're so much better than Solomon? Do you? How many of you today, tonight, this afternoon, believe that you are better than Solomon? The king of Israel. The one that was used by God to do great things. The one who did off of those three books. The one who really did so many great things. How many of you tonight think that you would never fall, even though Solomon did? My friends, the Word of God says that if Solomon fell, don't be cocky. And don't think that your heart could never turn to the living God. It doesn't matter if you are born in a covenant family. That's not going to save you. It helps, but it won't save you. And don't think tonight, if you're standing, that you are doing it because of your own strength. Paul says, if any of you thinks he is standing, take heed, why? Lest he fall. And if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't ever dare to think that you could never do this. Because if you do, I'm telling you, your heart could very well end up traveling away from the living God as Solomon's. Preventative number 5. And then finally, preventative number 6 is this. Don't doubt that God will chastise you if your heart turns from Him. Don't doubt that. God did not allow Solomon to continue in his ways. He stopped him. God would have been quite just to allow Solomon to continue just to stack up the wives and to allow his heart to drift further and further away. But God loved Solomon. And God came to Solomon. And God confronted Solomon. We're told that God became very angry with Solomon. And he said to him, because you have done this, because you've not heeded my commands, therefore I am going to take the kingdom from you. And it will be torn out of your son's hand. It was at that point in Rehoboam's life that the kingdom was divided in Israel. Interestingly, if you continue to read after the chapter that I read to you, you find that God raised up enemies against Solomon. Can you imagine that? Twice. Solomon's glory began to wane. It began to diminish. His enemies began to harass him and gave him a hard time. He spent the rest of his days in grief. But he came around. I believe that. We have the book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon does come to his senses. But you know what? He went through untold grief to get there. And you know what? If your heart travel from the living God, God will come to you, child of God, and He will chastise you. And it may kill. And it may hurt a lot. I do not chastise my children for being obedient. I chastise them for being disobedient. And it hurts, and you can ask them. You see, God loves you too much to allow your heart to keep on wandering. And God will come to His children and He will discipline them no matter what the cost might be. My question is this. Are you willing to endure what God may very well take from you if your heart wanders from the living God? Are you prepared for what God's discipline may look like? If you decide that you're going to give yourself to the world and give yourself to unbroken folly and sin, are you ready? The cost could be humongous. It could be devastating. You want that? Some pain can be avoided. Solomon's pain could have been avoided. The kingdom did not have to be torn from his hands and split from the hands of his son. It didn't have to happen. And it doesn't have to happen with you. And so it begins, friends, right here. And it comes to this. You have got to look at Solomon's life and the disastrous conclusion to what started out so good. And don't make the mistakes that he did. But take these six preventatives and take them to heart. I'm giving them to you tonight, friends, so that you will not walk out and join the world. I'm giving them to you tonight to guard you, to protect you, and to keep your heart with the living God. Your heart is so precious to God that God will do whatever it takes to reclaim it. And we know that, don't we? Isn't that what he showed on the cross? That your heart was so precious to him, and he loved you so much that he did what nobody could even think of doing to get you, giving his own dear son and spilling his blood for your sakes. Do you think that if he spills the blood of his son, that he's going to allow your heart to wander away? There is no way. But having said that, God is calling you tonight, friends, to this. To keep your heart loyal with him. To walk close to him. To fear him. And to keep his commandments. And Solomon is here to show you what happens when a person doesn't do that. Solomon is here for your warning. For your encouragement. He's here because God loves you. And because God is saying to you, I want your heart. And I want it loyal to me. And friends, that's an encouraging thought. Amen. Father, I pray very simply that these words would find their way into the hearts of your people and there remain never, ever to escape. And Lord God, that they would guard and protect and inspire a heart loyal to you. Father, you have promised to show yourself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to you. Father, may you show your strength to your people as they, by your grace, keep their hearts loyal to you. Bless this generation of Jacob in a wicked and adulterous one, we pray. Amen.